music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. This is the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hi, it's Kelly, and welcome to the show. This week, we are excited to welcome Aaron LaRosa, who is a Los Angeles-based writer and also a member of the Netflix team. We're going to be chatting with Aaron about her fabulous release, The Big Redhead Book. We're also going to check out some new music from English artist James Bay, as well as Kendrick Lamar and The Weeknd. But first, it's Portugal the Man with Feel It Still on The Kelly Alexander Show.
I keep my hands on myself.
Tell me if you love me or not, love me or not, love me or not. At the house on you, am I lucky or not, lucky or not, lucky or not? You gotta tell me if you love me or not, love me or not, love me or not. Been wishing for you, am I lucky or not, lucky or not, lucky or not?
Say hey, hey, now, baby.
too grown to play around. Young enough to chase, but old enough to know better.
Are we too grown to change? Are we too grown to mess around? Ooh, and I can't wait forever, baby. Both of us should know better.
Ooh, 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 I've been wishing for you. Ooh, ooh, try to do what lovers do.
On the Kelly Alexander Show.
Coming up after this fantastic song from the Black Panther soundtrack, we're going to be speaking to author Aaron LaRosa. But first, it's Kendrick Lamar and The Weeknd with Pray For Me on the Kelly Alexander Show.
I fight you, I fight myself, I fight God. Just tell me how many burdens left. I fight pain and hurricanes, today I wept. I'm trying to fight back tears, flood on my doorsteps. Life is living hell, puddles of blood in the street. Shooters on top of the building, government aid ain't relief. Earthquake, the body drop, the ground breaks. The poor run with smoke lungs and scarred face. Who need a hero?
Hero.
You need a hero, look in the mirror, there go your hero. Who on the front lines at ground zero?
Hero.
My heart don't skip a beat even when hard times bumps the needle. Mass destruction and mass corruption, the souls of suffering men. Clutching on deaf ears again, rapture's coming. It's all prophecy, and if I gotta be sacrificed for the greater good, then that's what it gotta
you
be.
Pray for me. My pain for me.
I live by my own.
Lamar and The Weeknd with Pray For Me on The Kelly Alexander Show. Hey, it's Kelly, and we are very happy to welcome to the show author Aaron LaRosa, whose latest release is called The Big Redhead Book. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
So I wanted to kick things off by asking you, how did you weave your way towards a career in media and writing? Was it sort of a passion since you were a kid?
Yeah, so I always kind of was doodling in a journal or, you know, making up poetry or song lyrics. I used to love listening to Janet Jackson, as I know you did too, and creating my own song lyrics based off of, you know, what I was hearing. And I think for me, I really always wanted to write. I don't come from a writing background of a family. Everyone in my family, they're in medicine. So I think they were a little baffled as to what I was going to do with my life. And, you know, the only thing that they kind of emphasized was like, well, how are you going to get a job? So for me, going into journalism and, you know, I ended up writing for places like BuzzFeed and She Knows and Funny or Die and E! Online. That was kind of a way where I could at least say like, hey, I'm making money and I'm writing, I'm doing what I like to do. So, you know, I think the evolution of my writing career stemmed from a place of like, I just want to get paid to do what I like doing, which is writing.
That is fantastic. And the fact that you're a fellow Janet fan makes me love you even more. So I have to ask you, what's your favorite album?
Velvet Rope is my favorite album.
Very good. I appreciate that. So, and my a lot of my listening audience are fans of Janet, so they'll love hearing from you, that's for sure. So I did want to ask you, too, with regards to, I suppose, literary influences, who were your favorite authors growing up?
You know, I read a lot of, you know, as a young kid, I loved The Babysitter's Club. I loved Nancy Drew books. My mom got me into those. I was very into kind of page-turner type of books, and I still am. Right now, I'm reading a really fantastic book by one of my friends, Amy Meyerson. Her book comes out in April, and it's all about a library kind of mystery. So I'm very into, like, you know, Big Little Lies, like those types of books where I can kind of delve in and just plow through it. My favorite book of all time is actually by a Canadian author. It's called Fall on Your Knees, and it's by Anne Marie McDonnell. And it's a really compelling kind of family drama. And I read that during English class, and my teacher knew I was a good student, so she let me do it instead of paying attention to the actual lesson.
Now, I guess I want to ask you as well, like, when you were contemplating, I suppose, the different aspects of what your career could be, was writing a book something that you thought was going to happen, or you were going to for sure make it happen?
Yeah, you know, I've always loved books and reading books. And so my initial thought, especially when I went to school for writing, was like, well, I'm going to be a novelist. And I ended up, my first job out of college was actually at Random House. And so I thought, well, I'll be surrounded by authors and I'll be able to kind of write books myself. And of course, my job kind of got in the way of my writing. So I really took time to go to grad school actually and have that time to focus again in on writing. And I knew that I would find my way to writing a book. I just didn't know how. And so weirdly, you know, I love fiction, but I ended up writing two nonfiction books, my most recent one being The Big Redhead Book. And I think writing nonfiction has been really fun and like a good entry point for me. I'm excited to kind of eventually dabble into fiction. But nonfiction has been really great.
So let's talk about your latest release. As you mentioned, the Big Redhead Book. Where did the idea come to set pen to paper for this?
Yeah, so when I was at BuzzFeed, I always wrote about being a redhead and kind of how that has affected my life and my identity. I think any redhead that you speak to will say that their hair color is a huge part of who they are as a person, and it's maybe the most defining characteristic about you. It kind of makes people perceive you in a different way. Like, people often think I'm fiery, or, you know, like that, you know, as a woman, they'll say that you're a little more sexual or perceived as a little more sexual. So, you know, for me, my hair color is who I am, and I've always written about it. And at BuzzFeed, when I would write about it, I'd have a lot of redheads reach out to me and say, like, that is so me. Like, you just wrote about me. I can't believe that you had the same experience I did. And I just wanted to write a book for my fellow redheads and for myself that would serve as kind of like a guide of like, here's what it is like to be a redhead. These are shared experiences, and there are actual things that make us different than everyone else, whether it's, you know, a physical characteristic, like we feel temperature changes more than any other hair color, or the fact of how we're treated. Like men, for example, are often, you know, treated as kind of the class clown. Like there are reasons for that, and I wanted to explore those in a book.
That is so cool. We'll be back with more from author Erin LaRosa, but first let's go back to 2005 with one of Mariah Carey's most successful songs, We Belong Together, on The Kelly Alexander Show.
On Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Click on KellyAlexanderShow.com.
It's undeniable that we should be together. It's unbelievable how I used to say that I'd fall never. The basis you need to know, if you don't know just how I feel, then let me show. Themselves out and all emotional once you know what it's all about. Hey, and undesirable for us to be apart, never would have made
start back at one.
Coming up on the Kelly Alexander Show.
The rest of our interview with writer Aaron LaRosa is coming up following new music from one of Canada's most talented young artists, Coleman Hell, with his latest song called Manic on the Kelly Alexander Show.
I can't get out of my bed. Think there's magnets in my mattress. Might as well just be a casket for all I care. Oh no, here we go again. The bad thoughts are creeping in. The bad thoughts are creeping in. When I feel crazy, I hide it. Then fall apart in private where my mirror's the only one who sees my tears. There's a method to my sadness. It's a chemical imbalance, and my head is damaged way beyond repair. I'm a manic depressive, passive aggressive, emotionally repressed, introverted, extroverted, melancholic, alcoholic mess. I wish my inner thoughts were dinner conversation. I wished on every star and every constellation. Some days I wish I was dead. Think I'm broken, I can't fix it. It's an intangible sickness, but it's there. Oh no, here we go again. The bad thoughts are creeping in. The bad thoughts are creeping in. So I wrestle my demons till I go off the deep end, where I'm drowning and I can't come up for air. I've tried every medication, and I've gone in hibernation, hiding in my room like a bipolar bear. I'm obsessive, compulsive, and self-destructive. Hey, what did you expect? Narcissistic and neurotic, I'm just one big ball of stress. I wish my inner thoughts were dinner conversation. I wished on every star and every constellation. I wish that I was calm and wasn't always anxious. The bad thoughts are creeping in. The bad thoughts are creeping in. Oh, the bad thoughts are creeping in. The bad thoughts are creeping in. Oh, the bad thoughts are creeping in.
That's Coleman Hell with Manic on the Kelly Alexander Show. And Coleman deserves a huge shout out for coming forward and shedding some light on mental health issues. Coleman has admitted that he himself has had his fair share of challenges, but has worked hard to get the help that he needs to move forward with his own life. And I think it was fantastic of him to come forward and share this story with his fans so that they know that even successful musicians can go through dark periods in their life, and there is absolutely no shame in asking for the help that you need to get through these rough periods. So Coleman, you are awesome. Hey, it's Kelly Alexander, and joining us now on the Kelly Alexander Show is writer Aaron LaRosa, the author of the Big Redhead Book and Woman Skills. Make sure to follow her on Instagram and Twitter at Side of Ginger. Can you talk a little bit about the fact that, because for example, I have interviewed my fair share of twins, and I know that they get a lot of stupid questions too, like, you know, do you feel each other's pain and all that sort of stuff. So when it comes to your book, like, and some of these, I guess, you know, stereotypes that come your way as a redhead, what's the ones, I suppose, that are the most annoying, and do you think people are ever going to stop asking those annoying questions?
I think probably the most annoying one that every redhead has been asked is, does the carpet match the drapes? And it's a very deeply personal question, and it's a weird question that people, you know, think it's okay to ask for some reason. Mm-hmm. I don't see that changing anytime soon. I definitely got asked it a lot more when I was in my early 20s and going out to bars a lot. So maybe redheads just have to kind of avoid that kind of situation. The other one that I get asked a lot, which I think is pretty harmless, is just, is that your natural hair color? And I like to chalk that up to the fact that sometimes our hair is so brilliant of a hue that it's hard to believe that it actually exists in nature. People also have a lot of, you know, interesting nicknames for redheads. I've been called Little Red, French fry with ketchup on top, carrot top, all of those things. And they don't always go away. Sometimes my nickname still is Red, mm-hmm. instead of, you know, my actual full name.
I wanted to ask you this too. I have a friend of mine and I love her to pieces, but it drives me nuts because she literally has a thing against redheads. Now, and I've tried to see if it's real or not. And I feel there's some grain that she's kind of just joking, but I think there is some sort of level that she's like not comfortable with it. And I said, what's your problem? She's like, gingers, you can't trust them. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And so it's mind boggling to me, I guess, because I've always had redheaded friends in my life and I've never even thought twice about it, like zero. So when you hear someone say something like that, like, I don't know, like, it just seems, it's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are actual historical reasons as to why people perceive redheads as being untrustworthy or kind of are hesitant about us. One is that, you know, red is a very psychologically strong color. You know, it's, we get red in the face when we're angry. You know, it's like when we're trying to rile up a bull, we wave a red flag at them. Red has been shown to quicken your heart rate, like when you just see the color. So psychologically, it's a very powerful color, but also historically, it's been used in the art world as a way to show evil or malice. So for example, Judas, who, you know, the guy responsible for Jesus getting killed, he is often depicted as a redhead in art, in film adaptations of, you know, the story of Christ. So it's not that far off for people to have these associations because they've kind of been drilled into our heads. Also, historically, you know, redheads don't always come from redhead parents. For example, my parents are brunettes. So before the beauty of science and genetics, people would get a red-haired child, and it was believed that that was a mark of the devil because mm-hmm. where else did this red hair come from if not, you know, the devil just marking your child with red and saying, like, you did something bad and now your child is devilish. So, you know, there are actual historical reasons, but I think in present day, you know, there are pop culture things that have happened too. Like there was an episode of South Park that kind of perpetuated this myth of like gingers have no soul. And on TV and film, redheads are often portrayed as evil characters like Syndrome from The Incredibles or the Red Queen in Alice in Wonderland. So, you know, I think your friend is unfortunately coming just from a place of ignorance. You know, I hate to say that because I'm sure she's a really smart person, mm-hmm. but it is hurtful, I think, for redheads to hear something like that just because it is kind of like an accepted form of bullying. Like people feel like it's actually okay for them to say something like that. Whereas I don't think they would say that about a person of a particular race or gender because that's not socially acceptable. But right now, you know, belittling a redhead's hair color, that's totally fine.
Well, it upsets me and I'm not redheaded. So I tell her all the time, I'm like, you're ridiculous.
I appreciate that, Kelly.
So I'll stay on it for you. I wanted to ask as well, when it comes to, you know, redheaded women versus redheaded men, is there a double mm-hmm. standard in that regard? Like, do the men get off easier?
Yeah, well, it's funny. My brother is also a redhead and we saw the differences pretty clearly. My brother was treated really differently, especially when it came to dating. You know, there were a lot of people who would say just, you know, like, redheads aren't my type. Like, I'm not into redheads. And they would say that pretty openly. As a red-haired woman, I think it was kind of perceived that maybe we would be more sexual or more open to talking about our sexuality. I think the other thing, too, is that redheads in general, like, are perceived different ways emotionally. So I think red-haired women are often labeled as, you know, being fiery a lot more than red-haired men, and red-haired men are often perceived as being funnier. So, you know, there are these pros and cons to being a female redhead versus a male redhead, but I do think in general, red-haired women have it a little bit easier because we aren't as maybe like thought of as like a specific type, you know, like I don't often hear men saying like, well, I won't date red-haired women. But I do hear that being said about red-haired men, which is sort of a strange thing to say or think is okay to say.
Now, speaking of the guys for just a sec, and actually I'll say it for both sides of the coin, in the entertainment industry, do you find that this is like an issue? Do you think a lot of either redheaded women or redheaded men are held back?
Yeah, I've actually, so for my book, The Big Redhead Book, I interviewed a lot of red-haired actors and actresses, and the red-haired actresses who I spoke to, you know, cited things like going into, you know, auditions and seeing like rows and rows of redheads and also minorities. So weirdly, like red hair has been treated as like kind of a minority characteristic, like when you go into casting calls, which is strange. And then the men who I spoke with had said that they often just wouldn't even be considered for leading or romantic interest roles. So, you know, I spoke to one actor named Daniel Newman, who he's a model. He's been on The Walking Dead. He's, you know, he is gorgeous, but he was just saying that his agent wouldn't be able to get him into leading love interest roles. And it was cited, you know, very openly that it was because he had red hair, which is really, you know, unfortunate and also very telling of like why you aren't seeing red-haired men all of the time in leading male roles. I do think there are things that are helping us, like, you know, Prince Harry is obviously the hotter prince, let's be honest, and he's doing a lot for us right now. I also think actors like Donald Gleason and Rupert Grint and even Ed Sheeran to a certain extent, although poor Ed Sheeran gets a lot of abuse online.
Do you think it's because
you know,
of his
these
weird
are men
hair
in
style?
The mainstream who are sexually attracted. They're giving us a better understanding of redhead men.
Do you think Ed Sheeran gets flack because of his weird hairstyle as opposed to the red color?
I think he gets a lot of flack because, you know, he's a pop singer. He has a hair color that's very noticeable. And I think because he does pop music, you know, if he was a brunette or a blonde, I don't think hair color would come into it. But when you do see negative comments about Ed Sheeran, it's overwhelmingly like it will invoke his hair color. Like people will call him a ginger in kind of a negative way, like the friend that you have. Mm-hmm. They'll cite his hair color as kind of a thing along with the negative comment they're making. And I don't think that happens to someone like Justin Bieber, for example, who also gets a lot of flack online. But I don't think people are being like, oh, that brunette, like I can't believe Justin Bieber. But with Ed Sheeran, they will like actively attack his hair. So I think it has something to do with the stereotypes people have about redheads and just that feeling of like being entitled to making fun of them for their hair color.
Okay. Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show, writer Erin LaRosa, the author of The Big Redhead Book and Woman Skills. Make sure to follow her on Instagram and Twitter at Side of Ginger. I did want to ask you, what is the biggest piece of information that you want non-redheads to take away from your book? Because I think like I definitely need to give this book to my friend.
That might be one of the biggest pieces of info that I want people to take away too is, you know, get this for your redhead friends. The reason I wrote the book really was so that redheads feel accepted and feel like they're part of a community. And I think if you're a non-redhead and you're fascinated by red hair, which I don't blame you for, you can get this book and learn a lot about us and what makes us actually different because we are very unique and we have our place in the world and it's fascinating.
And I wanted to get your take on this. When it comes to your book and you know, even getting it out to fellow redheads, particularly, I would say, the younger set, teenagers and maybe young adults who, mm-hmm. you know, are still coming into their own. And of course, you know, in this day and age with social media being at the forefront of everything, it's so much easier to be bullied because you can be a keyboard warrior and hide behind everything. Like,
right.
what do you say to your fellow redheads, particularly the younger set who might need this really as like a boost?
It's funny that you bring that up. I actually had a girl on Instagram reach out to me and she's in boarding school and she was saying that my book had helped her so much, just kind of like hearing stories about bullying or experiences growing up and how to handle those. I think for younger redheads, part of the battle really is just feeling like it's not you, like it's not only you that's going through this. And often having red hair can be really isolating because we're only 2% of the population. So you might just be the only redhead in school or the only redhead in your family, and you may not have anyone to talk to about this stuff. But getting the book and hearing not only my experiences, but famous red hair people experiences, like all of these things, it'll make you feel less alone and actually gives you practical advice on how to handle situations, including bullying, including just nicknames and name calling and things like that, that are, you know, fairly unique to redheads.
Now, before I let you go, I did want to ask, what is up next for Erin LaRosa? What should your fans be on the lookout for?
I'm working on a play right now and a film script, so I'm kind of changing genres right now, getting out of the book space for a beat. So, you know, I'll be keeping people updated on my social accounts of where they can see my play once it's done, and God willing, watch my film once it's done.
That is fantastic. And you'll come back on the show to tell us all about it?
Obviously. And you and I can talk a little bit more about Janet Jackson, too.
I appreciate that. And you know, it's funny. I think I realize now why you love Velvet Rope so much, because she kind of had a red tinge in that album cover.
She
right?
sure did. Her hair is kind of red right now.
It's true. It's true. She looks fantastic. So I really appreciate you coming on the show. I cannot wait for people to, or my audience, to know more about your book and to pick it up. So you are welcome back anytime.
Thank you so much, Kelly. This was so fun.
That's writer Erin LaRosa, the author of The Big Redhead Book and Woman Skills. Make sure to follow her on her Instagram and Twitter at Side of Ginger.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond.
Find light in the beautiful sea. I chose to be happy. You and I, you and I. We're like diamonds in the sky. You're a shooting star I see. A vision of ecstasy. When you hold me, I'm alive. We're like diamonds in the sky.
Shine bright like a diamond.
on The Kelly Alexander Show.
To say to you now, standing right in front of you, don't know how to fade in and out, don't know how to play it cool, lose a little guard, let it down, we don't have to think it through, we've got to let go. I wanna get it wilder, it kinda now slows down. I wanna take you higher. Little hearts feel the only sound. I wanna go where the lights burn low and you're only mine. I wanna give you wild. Try to call you, to feel you close. Let's leave the atmosphere disappear. There's always something left to lose. But I wanna give you wild love. I'm kinda now slowed down. I wanna take you higher. Your heart's beating the only sound. And I wanna go where the lights burn.
That's James Bay with his brand new song, Wild Love. And James has been working hard on his upcoming new album and has mentioned that this time around he's been influenced quite a bit by the likes of Prince, David Bowie, Frank Ocean, Lord, and Michael Jackson, to name a few. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show this week. We always appreciate your time. A big thank you going out to our guest, Aaron LaRosa. Thank you so much to Adam Brisson for pushing all the right buttons. And of course, we'd love for you to get involved and follow us on all of our social media. You can do so by jumping onto our website, kellyalexandershow.com. You can also check out our interviews on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/kellyalexandershow. Have an excellent week, and get this. To close out the show, we've got a fantastic Canadian artist. His name is Francesco Yates. New music from him called Come Over on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Yeah, sugar so fly, back in our nights. Oh my, feeling just right, thinking of my. Need a bad girl in my life. These low lights make me so shy. But something in your eyes says take me all the way tonight. Oh yeah, you got me. Come over, let me pull you closer. I just want. said one too many goodbyes to look loving.